Justin Gatlin is the latest in a long line of sprint sensations to emerge from the USA.
Gatlin got a good start.
Look at this man coming through now.
Gatlin.
What a fantastic performance
from Gatlin.
It's all about Gatlin.
Ultimate goal is to be one of the best sprinters in history.
And what a fantastic performance of Gatlin. And look at the time.
It's the American leading the Jamaican at the moment.
He knows. He is the world champion.
Justin Gatlin is the world champion here in London.
Hey, what's up, everybody? We back for another episode of Ready, Set, Go. We in the building. You know who it is. It's your boy, Jay Gats. And my co-host, none other than...
I ain't going to jumpstart this time. Rodney Green.
There it is. My boy, Rodney. Rodney, man, what's going on with the shirt today? What's good, man?
Man, you know what's going on, man. I'm wearing my shirt representing the 242 for my country, man. Devin Charlton, new world record holder, sole world record holder at 765 in the hurdles, man, at the Indoor World Championships gold medalist, man. I just want to pay homage to her, man, and wear my country colors, man, and say I'm happy for her.
What is it? What does that mean to your country? Can you take us through? Let the audience understand what does it mean to have a tradition where you have an athlete that comes from your country and they go out and win a gold medal or break a record.
Well, we had a few gold medals, but Devin will go down in history because we've never had, or that I know of. I mean, if somebody in the comments could correct me, we've never had a world record holder. So she would be the first world record holder. We may have some after, but when you're the first, you can never, that nobody can ever take that from you. So that's major from a country that with less than maybe 350,000 people. You know what I mean? So that's a very, very big deal. Very inspiring for the next generation to come, man. But, you know, hats off to her, man. That's a big deal.
Man, what are we talking about, though? What's the tradition? You're going to get some land. She's going to get some land. She's going to get, you know, the federation's gonna take care of her. What does it look like? Because you got the Golden Girls.
Yeah,
you got the Silver Knights, but they turn into the Golden Knights, right?
Yeah, they're the Golden Knights.
The Golden Knights, now they upgraded.
Yeah. And we have a few more people. You know, you have Tonique Williams, Darnell, you have Stevie, you have Chris Brown, another medalist, you know, if I'm forgetting their names. But I'm not sure if they still give land, but I'm pretty sure that she'll receive something. I'm pretty sure that she'll possibly get a parade or something like that, but she will be celebrated. Our country is usually always good with that, man. So she definitely gets celebrated. I'm going to have to look in to see exactly what she gets. You know what I mean? When I go back home.
Hey, do y'all have floats in Junkanoo? Y'all do floats?
Come on. Junkanoo is our thing. Junkanoo is only in the Bahamas. You know, they may call it other things in other countries, but Junkanoo is from the Bahamas. Rake and scrape, that's us.
So do they do like floats that is catered towards the athletes, or they don't do that?
No, they possibly will. It possibly will happen during summer Junkanoo or maybe Christmas time. They may build a float with Devin going over the hurdle with the time on it. You know, they're very creative, man. I encourage anybody to go to the Bahamas and check out our festival of Junkanoo, man. It's very festive. It's very reminiscent of something like with the costumes of like Trinidad's, what you call
Carnival?
It? Yeah, something like that. But it's our version of it. You know what I mean? We have food, we have the floats, and we have, I think, the best music. I mean, I know a lot of Caribbean people are going to drop in and be like, no, but listen, I'm going to be biased to my country. We have the best music.
Oh. All I'm saying is I need an invite to that float, man. I need to get opportunity to see exactly what the Junkanoo vibe is all about. So Devin, send me an invite to be on your Junkanoo float if you get a chance.
I'm pretty sure she would if she sees this.
Yeah, so what, man, we got going, bro? What's,
man,
up?
We got Indoor Worlds to talk about, man. Indoor Worlds. We're going to talk about the rematch of Coleman and Noah. And I call this one, I didn't call it on camera. I didn't recall it on camera. I did pick Coleman to beat Noah at USA's. But I did tell you off camera, definitely Coleman wasn't going to let that happen twice, man. Wasn't going to let that happen twice. Coleman is the new world champion. Second time around in 6:41, world leading time. Congratulations to him, man. But I knew it would be difficult Both of them thinking about the 60 meters because I think this is the first time they did three rounds in one day. But I knew Coleman would have been prepared. Like, he would have been more prepared this time than he was at USA's.
I mean, yeah. I mean, this is his cup of tea. When he's on, right? And like I said before, even before we go into nationals, before we went into worlds, to stop someone like Noah, you're going to have to punch him in the mouth. And you watched Coleman progress and get faster each round at worlds. Prelims, semis, finals, and he added his flavor and his flair to the end at the finals. He handled business, which he should have, because being the fastest start in the world, the 60 meters should be your race. That is always should be your race. So hats off to Coleman for handling business at World indoors, and good luck going outdoors.
True. Shouts out to my man. You know, he won me some money because I couldn't bet against him twice. You know what I mean? I couldn't bet against him. I was like, man, that's Coleman shit, man. He ain't going to let it happen twice. So he got me some money. Appreciate that, man. I got me some lunch on that, man. Coleman, appreciate it.
who you made a bet with me? Was that
I made a bet with somebody else.
I got an outstanding bet with you?
Nah, you ain't got no outstanding bets. But I met a bet with somebody else who was like, yeah, Noah's going to win. And I said, yeah, I bet against Noah before. And he made me eat my words. But I couldn't see Coleman with that short amount of time. I couldn't see it happening twice.
You know what? I am really impressed how he was able to squeeze out those extra attempts going from nationals into world championships, right? Sharpening himself up. Noah looked like Noah, right? He ran pretty much the same time he did at nationals. And it was going to be something where he needed to level up again, you know, for world championships. And that didn't happen for him. But at the end of the day, Coleman understands and knows exactly how to operate in those kind of situations. So, like I said, to the fastest star in the world, congratulations, man.
Yeah. What's next on the docket, man? Shoot, we had another historian go down, man. Julian Alfred. Yeah, in the women's 60, man. You know, this is the first medal for her country, period.
Period. They never had a medal ever in any event. In any championship.
Any.
Big or small. This is their first time winning a medal. And watching Julian Alfred, the way she celebrated, man, it was heartfelt. Right?
Yeah, it was.
Because you really watched her come across that line and you realize she didn't cry because of the accolade of winning the medal. It was because you could tell she had that flashback of all that she's been through to get to that point. Like racing. Like if you watch the interview, she talked about how when she was younger, she used to race the boys. She used to race the grade, you know what I'm saying, the grade school kids.
100%.
They had little resources. And to be able to be at the top of the podium meant everything to her. Hats off to her, for sure.
Yeah, hats off to her, man. Shoot. I had a list who I bet. The person who I said was going to get second got second. He was Swoboda. Man, you got to keep your eye on this girl, man. She's running with confidence now. She's not, last year when she was running her 60, she was running like, you know what I mean? Like hoping to run fast. But now you could tell like she's in her bag, man. She made the world athletic final last year. And I think she transferred that confidence over into her 60 meters. She had an amazing season, man. I don't think she ran slower than 7:09.
No, she didn't, man. And on top of that, she has no drive phase whatsoever. She literally gets up out the blocks and just runs.
Well, she got the Ben Johnson.
She be moving, boy. She be she be gone, boy. I love her attitude, man. She's hilarious. She's a character. You know what I mean? Watching her interviews and talking about she's not a morning person, but she gets up and sets the world lead in the morning. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
so
yeah.
It's cool watching athletes who actually have character. You know, you want to see more of that. Not only did they run fast, you want to see those fast times, but you also want to kind of like know more about those athletes. So keep on having those interviews. Keep on running fast. Good luck to her outdoors.
Yeah, man. Good job. What Next on our docket, man. Shoot, our current world champion again, Mr. Grant Holloway. Put up your phone. Grant Holloway, man. I think he was trying. I'm gonna call him Mr. Moneybags, because I think he was trying to get the world record and the championship record. He got the championship record. I think he was trying to get the world record, championship record, and everything at the same time at Worlds. But he only got the championship record, but he is the gold medalist. What does this mean for Grant, man? You know, going into this season, he'll be faced with the Olympic champion, Parchment. Can he carry these wins over? We see Parchment is back healthy. We see Bloomfield, the two Jamaicans. They're both real contenders, along with the Americans also. But the Jamaicans are the heavy contenders to me. You know what I mean? Especially with the Olympic champion.
What do you think about it? They definitely. Some would say the weaker part of Grant's race is the second half of his race, right? After hurdle 6 and beyond. But you got to realize that Grant is poised. Grant is smart. Grant is patient. And he's that kind of person where if he sees a glaring weakness, he's going to make a change and he's going to look to be more consistent. You know, the Jamaicans are the Jamaicans. They're going to come ready. They're going to come correct. They fuel themselves off the pride, especially of their country. They're going to work hard for it. And watching all those athletes come together, like they have a respect for each other. But I'm telling you right now, man, Grant looks way different this season than he has in the past. And me watching him at Nationals and interacting with him throughout his practices leading up to the national championship, he just looked like he was a different kind of athlete. He was there to handle business. It was his domain. It was almost like he knew he was a king of what he's doing. That's a dangerous athlete to be able to compete against. Someone who has so much confidence in themselves that they're unflappable. And that's what he seems to be this season.
It definitely, there is a change. Like, he usually goes through those first five hurdles with such ferocity. But it seems like in his world record race, it seems like he bent over one and two wasn't as fast, and then he sped back up. It's almost like he knew he was too fast for the hurdles, and he knew he had to dial it back to speed back up because he's too fast. Which makes me think, just like Femke Ball and Sydney McLaughlin, could we see Grant Holloway in the flat 100? We've had one of him before. We've had two of them before. We've had Omar McLeod, who's ran 9 seconds and ran 12 seconds in 100. And we've also had Terrence Trammell. Could we see, if he dominates the Olympics, could we see him in the open 100? Only because I saw that block start with him and Noah. And that boy was gone.
That boy was gone. Listen, hurdler starts are deadly. You listen, you cannot second guess or hesitate hurdlers when they start. And then Grant Holloway is on a different level of starting. Like, he's deadly with his start. I would love to see him in 100 meters. You know, in fact, I would love to see him in a relay too, man. I think he has. I mean, remember him in college? He was doing everything.
Not even missed
everything. He was running 4x4s. He was doing it all, bro. Like, I bring that back, Grant. Let's see you in action in other events.
I don't want people to forget, like, he wasn't doing everything just, you know, because he was like a mid-grade guy. He is a top-tier guy. Watch this guy split 44. This guy ran 651 in the 60.
Yeah.
In college. I'm pretty sure if he tried now, I won't say anything outrageous, but 651 ain't no slump time, bro. Like, 651 would put him in what, top 10, top 15 in the world right now?
Listen, boy, you run 6.5 anything, you certified. You a sprinter, dog. You a sprinter. 6.5 anything, you a sprinter.
Yeah, so I'm a challenge Grant. I'm a challenge Grant. Grant, if you are the Olympic champion this year, you must challenge these guys in the 100. So I'd like to see that. If Femke Ball and a lot of these 400 meter, they could jump back on the flat. I'd like to see them jump on the flat and see what happens, man. Shake things up a little bit, man. See what the boy wonder could do. He said he could do everything. I won't see it.
Have you ever seen hurdlers sprint though? Like, I'm not saying that Grant can't, what I'm about to say, but hurdlers, it's like their mind is so used to jumping hurdles. It's like when they run a straight flat, it's like their mind hesitates. It's like their mind is still like, oh, wait a minute, we're supposed to be jumping right now. And they're still moving forward. So it's like they're running, they're like.
It is fun to watch, man. Shoot, I'm gonna give a shout out right there. One of my best female hurdlers to watch, man. And I love her to death, man. If we could ever get her on, I would love to have her on. Of the 100 and the hurdles is Gail Devers, man. That girl was fierce.
Oh, yeah.
Fierce. She was fierce, boy. We haven't had another female hurdler. I've encouraged one to try it, and she told me she probably will. I won't say her name because then she's going to be like, since you outed me, I'm not going to do it. But I love to see like someone try the 100. Gail Devers was, what, 1082 and like a 12-4 hurdler back then? Yeah, you know what I mean? But she'll still be competitive right now, which is, she wouldn't win, but she'd be very competitive. You know what I mean? So
that's crazy to me because your step patterns are totally different from 100 meters to 100 meter hurdles. Totally different. Okay. You wearing two different hats. And to watch Gail Devers do what she did, it was amazing. You know what I mean? I think that's what the sport really misses is the fact that everyone has found what they specialize in. And everybody specializes in one event, or maybe two, if they go hand in hand, like the 100 and the 200, you know what I'm saying, or the 800 and the 1500. But at the end of the day, it's like, let's see some athletes take it back to what the grassroots were, because a lot of these athletes are truly talented in other events, but they never have the opportunity or time to be able to showcase it the right way. I think this is the generation that's really going to step out, and you're going to see some female hurdlers out there who are going to say, you know what? I can run 100. I think I can go sub 11. I know I can do 12 for sure. Let's see what we can do in this 100 too.
Yeah, man. Gail was only, what, 5'2"? Ms. Devers.
Maybe that's what made her a good hurdler right there, because she was proportionate to the hurdles.
If I undercut her height, please forgive me, but I've met her one time, but I think she like 5'2". I'm not tall myself, but I'm just saying. What else we got on the docket, bro? What else?
Man, we just went over your girl, Devin. Shouts out to her again. Bahamas in the house. You know what? It's not on the docket, but I want to put it on the docket. And I know we usually talk about more of the running events. Ryan Crouser, man.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, when you think about someone like Grant Holloway, you know what I mean, dominating indoor in the 60 meter, you got to take your hat off to someone like Ryan, man. Like, he has dominated the shot put realm and has taken it to a different level over and over and over again, to the point it was like, what can you do next? You have the Olympic, you have the world championship, you have the world record holder. Now you have the indoor gold medal as well at the world championships. What's next for him? What would he do next?
Listen, man, you buy your hat to anybody who bench over 500 pounds. Oh. Exactly. He said he benched 550. He said he squat 770 or something like that, bro.
I don't want no problems, big fella. I don't want no problems,
yeah,
dog.
Man, listen, I don't know what else he can do. But I think it would be fun to see a mixed big man relay from them at world championships, the females and the males.
That would be pretty cool, though.
Because, you know, you get three per, so you could do a mix 4x1 and then, like, have the other two people as alternates in case the other one doesn't do it. I think that'd be cool. Like, that's a challenge I'd love to see. That was great in high school. You know what I mean?
Watching the big man relay?
The big man relay, yeah. Man, I think relay. It was probably sometimes more exciting than the real 4x1, man. But yeah, I don't know what else Ryan Crouser could do. Maybe the hammer throw. Or maybe the discus. You know what I mean? He's doing that shot put thing. Let's see if he could step out the realm and he probably has, but could he dominate another field event? Could he add another field event to his repertoire and dominate it just as well as he's doing now?
That'd be cool to see. For him to go out and just change the whole landscape of shot put and then start to like encroach in a whole different throwing event and see how well he does in that too. You know, just for fun. Just to see if you could really do it, you know?
Listen, this is a competitor that's going to be real mad at us if he come over and then he start winning. He'd be like, yeah, I was listening to those RSG guys, man. And then I thought about it and I was like, yeah, I'm going to do it.
He out there throwing a discus and a javelin.
I know. Boy, he would chuck a javelin, boy. I always ask quarterbacks to try the javelin because I feel like it's the same motion.
Yeah, true.
I feel like it's the same motion, man. But yeah, man. We'll see, man. Shouts out to Ryan Krauser, man. Quadruple it, gold champion, world record holder. This man got plenty of accolades behind that shot. But so I don't even know what it is anymore. I lost count.
Definitely. I mean, he's out there just winning everything, man. When you look the dictionary and you look up the word winning, that's that boy right there. He's winning, man. For sure.
Shoot,
what else we got going, man? What you got else over there?
We got Femke, man. Double gold medalist. Double indoor world gold medalist. Well, world record holder. Excuse me. So now she has the world record holder in the 300. She's the world record holder in the 300. She's the world record holder in the 400. And I think she has the top three times for the 400 ever, which is crazy. So I think she probably listening to that Kanye West Jay-Z song, Who Gonna Stop Me, huh? Who gonna stop me?
Man?
We gonna see, man. We gonna see. It's gonna be exciting, man. Outdoors here. I really wanna see her go up against Polino. Or I wanna see her go up against Sydney and the hurdles. Even in the flat. You know what I mean?
You just want to see her compete, period. You don't care if it's in the 400 hurdles or the four flat.
Because it's competitive both ways. You still got Britton Wilson. You still got Polino. You still got, you know what I mean, Sharnay Miller-Weibo. You still got, whichever way she go, it's not going to be an easy road. But I would love to see if she could continue this dominance. You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
I'm just anxious to see it. I don't know where she'll run her first outdoor race. I don't know if she'll run it against one of them. But if she is, I know I'm probably going to be glued to a TV or my phone somewhere.
Yeah, I want to see what happens in that for sure. Definitely. You know what I love about her success and how she's built her success? She's also inspired the women she runs with, her countrymen. You know what I mean? Like Claver got the silver medal in the indoor world championships.
And she ran 49 too.
And she ran 49 too. Exactly.
That's crazy.
Right? And when you watch, and when I watch the race, it's almost like she let Femke get the break. And then she rode Femke's coattails all the way to the finish line because she knew it's like, I'm not finna battle you all. And you know what I mean? Like, I know you on a different level. So I know that I got to get on this podium. I'm sticking with you to get on this podium. And I really look at that as like inspiration. Like she's been truly inspired. I don't know if they trained together as training partners, but you could tell that she's truly been inspired by the success of Femke Ball. And that has helped her gain her own success and notoriety as well.
Yeah, that looking up to is short-lived though. And she going to want to be world champion too. She gonna, but they could do it though because Clara's not a hurdler. So she could be like, you know what? I was going to try the four this year, but I'm going to let you have it. You go over there and I'm going to come over here in these hurdles. And we both going to be world champions. So they could split, but they're going to have a lot of formidable opponents as roadblocks to stop them on what they're trying to do. So, but that's crazy. 49-1 for most high school boys not doing that, bro. Mm. Elite high school boys are. But most high school boys aren't running 49-1.
Look, catch me on a bad day. I'm not running 49-1 either.
Catch me on any day I wasn't running 49.
Speaking of the 400, 4x4, what do you feel about the men's 4x4, Noah running the 400, 4x4, and on top of that, A lot of people have been, there's been a little controversy between how hands-on Belgium was under Anchorleg before they got the stick off. Like, what's your thoughts on those two things?
Well, I didn't know all that stuff they was doing was legal. First of all, that's the first time I've seen somebody tapping on somebody's back and backpedaling like that or before they get the baton. I've never really seen that before. I didn't even know if that was legal. They probably felt like we don't have to write it in the rule book because it's kind of pretty obvious. Don't touch the guy in front of you. I mean, I don't understand it. Somebody would have to actually explain that to me. Noah running the 4x4, I see it as promotion. USA previewing who their premier guy is. You know what I mean? I don't know if that's what it is, but that's what I'm perceiving it as okay, he's going to be next up. And Noah said that he wanted to be on the 4x4 in Paris. So this was kind of like a test run or a preview tour that he wanted to test his legs. He didn't have a bad split, though. He ran 45.6, which is pretty solid.
Yeah, he definitely held his own, for sure. You know what I mean? I think a lot of people are up in arms by the fact that he did jump on the 4x4 and it took somebody else's spot who, quote unquote, has earned that spot. You know what I mean? But y'all have to realize at home, y'all can't blame Noah for that. And I'm not jumping on the Noah bandwagon, but the fact is, if you look back in the past, you watch people who have been catered to in our sport because they are stars. So you look at Michael Johnson. They changed the schedule for Michael Johnson so he could run the 400 and the 200 and break the world record and get the gold medal. They did that. The federation and the organization of the Olympics, they did that. They did that for him so he could make history, right? So he can shine. They did the same thing for Marion Jones so she can win her medals. They did the same thing for Usain Bolt because before it was 4 rounds you had to run. Now they dropped it down to 3. And the people who don't have the qualifying have to run the first round, which is usually at 8 o'clock in the morning, right? And then I guess the powers to be said, we ain't finna tax these guys. We want to see an amazing race. So that was changed. So you look at it, and a lot of people don't love the fact that a lot of these superstars, and even Allison, they get the nod, you know what I mean? Because they're the ones who are drawing attention to the sport, or they're putting butts in seats. So if you have any reserve, I feel like take it up with the federation. Take it up with your federation. Take it up with the Olympic Committee. Take it up with the World Championship Committee, whoever else, because at the end of the day, yes, everyone works hard for it. And yes, someone is losing their spot who was dreaming and working forward to get on that team. But here we are now. What are we going to do? He went out there. He ran a solid leg. He did what he's supposed to do. It isn't like he didn't earn it. And when they came across that line, he handed that stick off first.
Hey, listen, all those people you named who they did things for, they held their own. So Michael Johnson did make history. Usain Bolt did make history. Allison did make history. So let's not forget that the names that you've named, they produced once they were catered to. So, and another thing, If you're that up in arms about it, just beat him. You beat him and you stop all of it. That's all it is. Go out there, beat the guy. That's the guy, and you shut all that down. Once you undeniably beat him, they can't cater to him. They gotta cater somewhat to you. I mean, I feel like in what 2002, that's what happened to Fred. He was upset. I won't say about who he was upset about. But he was upset that a guy was getting all the shine and he felt like he should get some of that. And he went out and worked hard and he beat everybody.
Everybody.
And so he had casualties in his run. So like, it was like, yeah, I got to beat you too, bro, because I'm trying to beat him. But you got to die too. But you got to die too.
You collateral damage.
I ain't really mad at you. I'm really mad at him. But I got to annihilate everybody, bro. I'm sorry. You know what I mean? So, and that's what happened, you know, kind of with him. So once you become the guy or beat the guy that's the guy, then you can change things. So I let everybody know, if you're mad or upset or feel some type of way, go and beat that guy. Go and beat him. And then you'll have what he has.
Absolutely. I agree with you 100%. And that's what it's always been. To be able to beat the guy, you got to beat the guy.
Yep.
Go out there and beat him.
What we got up next, man? We got...
Is it Olympic story time?
It might be Olympic story time. Yeah, let's go ahead and give it. Olympic story time. What year are we going to?
Well, I'm going to let you set the stage on this one.
All right, shoot.
What you want?
We gonna go tell us about, man, what it was like, man, your first Olympics back, 2012, over there in London, that final, man. I think it's probably one of the fastest lineups in history of the 100 meters. I think you're in there, Tyson's in there, Blake's in there, Bolt's in there. Who else is in there?
Asafa's in there.
So you have the five fastest men of all time in that race.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
And the crazy thing is, we're all lined up. USA, Jamaica. USA, Jamaica. Like, first of all, y'all telling me this random? This is not random. This is exactly what y'all want to do for television. And the way you look at it, and it's still amazing. I love it. You know what I mean? Because it shows that that country pride, but that team camaraderie as well. It was an amazing race to be a part of. Warming up for that race, looking across the track, Usain and Johan warming up together. And the way they were.
Hold up, man. Hold up. You got to take us through what really happened. You ran the rounds, and now you make it back to your first final, bro. So you already make it through the rounds. I remember watching you through the rounds. You made it through fairly easy, but now you're about to try to beat the guy or stand in the way of the guy who is the guy.
Oh, I ain't gonna lie. I was confident after that semi, dog. I did. If you go back and watch my semi race, I literally dry faced almost 50 meters. I dry faced 50 meters, came up, and I'm in the race with Asafa, and I'm in the race with Shrandy. And as I'm running, I look over at them to see where they at. And I cross the finish line. I felt energized, dog. I was like, we ready for this finals, dog. Ain't nothing going to stop us. I'm chest bumping Shrandy and everything. Like, yeah, we about to get there, baby. We on that podium, baby. Let's do this. You know what I mean? And, bro, we go into the finals. It was so amazing. Because you knew that you were about to make history. Because of how many people who are lined up, their accolades, their credentials, everything they've already done in the sport, they're all there, lined up, ready to go. And like I told you, it's USA, Jamaica, USA, Jamaica. And we're walking back and forth, pacing at the starting line. Everyone has their own kind of like character and their vibe. You know, you got Johan when he's called out. He does the whole beast and, you know what I mean? You got Usain over there. He hits the clutch, you know what I'm saying? Small engine or big engine, small frame, whatever. And you got Tyson lined up, myself lined up, Asafa, Ryan Bailey, everybody's there. And that's a controversial actually 100 meters because right when we get into set position, that's a bottle. Someone throws a bottle from the stands and it lands behind, I think Usain's blocks as a gun goes off. Little do we know, we didn't know that because we all zoned in. But I remember as a gun went off and I'm running and I get about to the, almost to the 50 meter mark. And I'm like, I am winning this, dog. And I'm... And then the tides change. All of a sudden, Usain and Johan go whoop, whoop, and they just like take off on me. And in that moment, I had a thought. As I'm running, I was like, ah, because I told you, I'm looking at them warm up and train on the other side of the track. And they would get to the 50 meter mark as they're warming up and they would hit another gear. And that's what they were doing in the race. And I was like, oh. Okay, I see now. It was too late by then because as we crossed the finish line, You know what I mean? Usain gets out there. He wins the gold. Me and Johan duking it out for second. He runs 9.75. I ran 9.79 or something like that. And then Tyson runs 9.80. So it was that close.
Wow.
That close to the point where, you know, you didn't know who got on the podium or not. So it was a beautiful moment, man. I definitely enjoyed it. One of the best races that I've been in, for sure.
Yeah, it's true. One of the fastest races. I think he broke the Olympic record again in that race, I think.
Yeah, I think he ran like 9.63 or something like that.
Yeah, and it was 69. So it was definitely another historic race for the books, man. With the top five fastest guys of all time, man. That's definitely amazing, man. I encourage anybody to go back and look at that Olympics. That Olympics was definitely a great one, man. Great, great, great story. But we got a lot to talk about for next week, though. You know, we're going to talk about some of these college kids, because their indoor championships next is this weekend coming.
Oh, yeah. It's their turn. Y'all up next.
It's their turn. And then we know indoor is short-lived. We outside after that.
We outside.
And we know indoor don't mean too much to outside. I've been talking to, I ain't going to say her name. I've been talking to her about, hey, man, yeah, you seeing all the girls, they running indoor, man, and they breaking world records? And she just look and say, I don't see none of that shit.
And she said, hold on, man. How you over here protecting the people?
I got to, because I want to honor.
You can't even give us an event.
I can't. Oh, man. Because if I do, she'll be like, see, I ain't coming over there with y'all. So I do want her, you know what I mean? So we'll see. But she said her real confidence, man. She's highly talented. She's really known. But she was like, I don't see none of that shit outside. She said, we won't see if they could do that shit outside. And people will probably don't even know she talked like that. Because she's very poised on camera, but she talk like that. What's she talking like?
That's the thing about athletes that I think the audience don't understand. It's like, you are somewhat trained, you know what I'm saying, to like talk a certain way on camera. But when you off camera, it is totally different, man. I can run you down how it is on camera right now. You sit in the press conference, this is how the press conference go. Oh, I'm ready for a great race. I feel great. I feel ready. I respect all the opponents that I'm running against. I know they're ready, so I have to come with my A game. Made the best man win. yeah, I'm excited to be here. All those things. But in your mind, you saying, man, I'm about to roll on these niggas. Boy, I'm about to kill them. You know what I'm saying? Like, you really feel, the way you feel is like you can't speak on it, right? But when you know that individual, you know, oh, that's that dog. They about to come out and do something. You know what I mean? They about to come out and really do something for real.
Listen, I watch you do some interviews where they ask you crazy questions, and I can see when you blink your eyes like this, I said, boy, they going to get the real Justin in 2 seconds.
2 seconds, man. It was a couple of times throughout my career, man, I'd get a couple questions. I'd be like, man, the next one about to get it. the next question is about to get it for real. But I think that once we get outside, you're going to see a lot of athletes, and this, especially this generation, they're going to speak their mind. You already see Noah. He speaks his mind. You see Fred Curley. He speaks his mind.
100%.
They really back up their action for sure.
Yo, we know you guys been asking a few questions. We have a new add on to our show, man, the RSG mailbag, where we'll be answering questions that you guys have for us. Let's have it. Our first question is from Riley Radford. Do we see Coleman and Lyles both run mid-9.7 or faster at the Olympics? Can they push each other to an American record territory? What do you think, Justin? And then I'll give my answer.
I think it's possible. You know, this is the fastest that we've seen Coleman run in a while. Through a 60 meters. So I think that's a really good gauge to show exactly how ready he can be when outdoor comes. You know, running a 6:40 is definitely a territory of sub 9.8. If he's able to run that pace correctly, carry himself through the 60 meters and still be able to maintain that speed through the next 40, I mean, you're looking at 9.7 for sure. I mean, I know you the numbers guy, Rod, but to me, I see a 9.7, you know what I'm saying, on the horizon for him. For Noah, obviously, we didn't see that he's been working on his start indoors, and I think that's what indoors was. It's a prelude to what we can see can happen outdoors. To run, like I said, to run 9.4 anything is going to give you, you know, 9.80 and lower. So he has the capabilities, and we know that as the race progresses, Noah gets faster. So I think that's what it's going to come down to. We're going to see some 9.7s definitely this season out of both of them.
I definitely agree with that. It being Olympic year too, like I said, I feel like we might even see a 9.6. I don't know where or when. I don't know if it's from any of those two, but I feel like we possibly may see a 9.6 grace the board, grace the world list. But definitely Coleman, I give it to Coleman to run mid 9.7 because based on experience, because he's been there before. You know what I mean? He's run 9.7. Noah hasn't, but with his newfound form and start, with him having a lot of airtime in the second half of his race, I definitely see a definite PB in his future. But the way he closes, like from things I've seen last year, I definitely possibly see something really, really, really fast for him. So we'll see. But we ain't outside yet.
We ain't outside yet. But it's so crazy to me that there are polar opposites in a lot of ways, man. I mean, obviously, for Coleman to be able to reach that potential of getting back to 9.7, he's going to have to work on his speed endurance. He's going to have to maintain that speed going through the 60, finish the race very strong and not fatigue. It's the opposite for Noah. Noah's going to have a great start, very strong, fast transition, and he's going to have to carry that same momentum into the second half of the race. Because we know the second half of the race for Noah is game over. You know what I mean? So I like to see what's going to happen, man. That's a good question. I like that. Shout out to Riley from the Speedster. We haven't heard you guys talk about Arian Knighton in the 200 meters. How come?
We have talked about Arian. I talked about, I can't remember which episode it was. We talked about him running his first 200 overseas when Grant ran also. I can't remember which exactly me, but I think he ran like 20.21 or something like.
Yeah, he ran 20. Like that. He ran 20.21.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we did talk about that. You might have missed that, the Speedster. But yeah, Arian's definitely a force. He's a medalist. We have talked about him though. Yeah.
Listen, man, Arian is a true talent, no doubt. And I've said it over and over again. Someone like Arian, in the next 5 years, ain't nobody gonna stop this kid. He is a true talent. To open up and run 9.19.4, your first race out, and a little small meet, that shows you exactly where his talent really lies. We're seeing the glimmers of what he really possesses and what he really can do. I think now is for him to gain that knowledge, that poise, to be able to run those times consistently for one, and then two, run it when it counts. Run it at world championships, run it at the Olympics, run it at the Diamond League finals. Show the world that you are the man. And I know Arian is the man. He can get the job done. Show us what you got, bro.
I think why we haven't spoken about him a lot also is because we speak on current events and a lot of the guys who we spoke about, they're running right now. And then Arian, he's more of just a 200 meter specialist. Every guy who we've talked about, they run the 100 and the 200. And the 100 being the more premier event, the guys want to see. And I think we do see Arian in the 100, but I think when he feels a little bit more comfortable with what he's doing in the 100. He's fast in the 100, but I think he wants to be amongst the elite guys in 9.8, 9.7. So I think that's one of the reasons why you haven't heard us talk about him as much. Okay. It's from All Cap. And that's All Cap, you know who you are, is Tobogo Noah's biggest threat at the upcoming Olympics. What do you think, Justin?
Oh, here we go. You're going to throw it over to me?
Okay, yes, cool. I am.
Listen, I love watching the progression of Tobogo. Running the 300 this season and the way he did it, and then come across the line and pretty much like telling the crowd just to chill. This is him. He know he's him. You know what I mean? It's just going to take that time. I think that him being so young, he's gotten stronger this season, and you can tell by looking at his arms and the way he carries himself. He was a young athlete for a while. You know what I mean? He ran under 20s, what, just last year, the year before? So you're looking at somebody who's ready and poised, and he's building himself, developing himself. Do I think that he's going to be Noah's biggest competition in the upcoming Olympics? Possibly. Strong possibility for sure, because for one, Noah's going to have to run those rounds. You have to run, and if he goes out there, run the one and the two, that's six rounds right there, competitively. That's going to tax you. I don't care who you are. You're going to be taxed by that. Tobogo, in his trials, if he has trials, he's not going to be taxed from his trials. He's going to have to go out there. So he's going to have more energy, you know what I'm saying, to kind of lean back on, to be able to give him a better advantage in those situations. He got the silver in the 100 meters, and he did well in the 200 meters, and he's ran 1950, and he did 1950 in such a grand fashion where he was closing on Noah. We've never, ever witnessed an athlete run down Noah. That's what we're watching right now. So you're seeing those little glimmers of greatness that is about to come this season. Guarantee you, it's going to be a shootout in the 200. It will not be a super easy victory for whoever the winner will be.
It won't be. Do I think that he's the biggest threat? I think he's a threat, but I don't think he's the biggest threat. Being, like I said, you can't sleep on Kenny Bernard. Can't sleep on Arian. You definitely cannot sleep on the current Olympic champion who's back with his old coach. I think that's something, watching them close the season out with 19-7 after only training more like half a year with his old coach, ain't no telling what's in store for this year. So I wouldn't just yet like etch as the biggest threat, because we all know Andre DeGrasse is a gamer. He's super talented, and he is not by any means finished. By any means. So, shoot, I can't even forget about Fred. You know, you could throw Fred in there too. Or Michael Norman. You know, we haven't seen him in a while. You never know. We have years where athletes disappear for a year and they rise with a newfound courage and everything else. So we never know what this year has to hold, man. But we outside and we about to see.
Definitely, man. And I hope that Michael and I hope that Fred over there, iron sharpened iron. And, you know, they both didn't have the greatest season last year. So I hope that they're using that energy to say, you know what? Let's go take over the world. May the best man win.
All right, man. But we thank all you guys, man. All our viewers. Keep those questions coming. We appreciate everybody watching us here on Ready, Set, Go. See y'all next time.
We out.